comes the Monday Marketing Huddle Podcast. We are here to provide you marketing tips and tricks to expand your business. And now your hosts, Debbie Pomeray and Darcy Garvin.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday Morning Marketing Huddle with D2 Media Team. We are the D's, Debbie Pomeray and Darcy Garvin. We are a traditional media agency specializing in digital and traditional media to grow your business with strategy. And each week we host a very special guest to talk about their business, tell their story, and give our listeners some thoughtful and helpful tips to make your business grow. And this week we have a very good friend of ours, Rich Ide, Vice President of the Ide Family of Dealerships. Hi, Rich.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, yeah, you're coming. Anyway, so just for those of you who don't know him, which I can't believe because he's all over media and billboards, but Rich grew up acting, making videos, and taught himself to edit. It's something he's always loved. And while he was in college at RIT, he sold knives, which I thought was very interesting, and that you did pretty well at it, but you also worked at the dealership part-time, and then you went on to go to the dealership full-time when your dad, who is also a friend of ours, purchased it and took over the marketing early on. And a fun fact is he first produced his ad in June of 2007. So now you've been doing this for quite a while.
Yeah, it has. It's, you know, it's great to be on the show. Thanks for having me. My dad bought the store and we got in there and we were doing the commercials and, you know, I kind of just told him, I'm like, you know, Dad, I can do this. And we gave it a shot and it's been history ever since. So I enjoyed it.
So you grew up creative. This wasn't just something that you just like hit on. You've always been a creative person.
Yeah, I grew up, I always loved acting. I was getting roles and stuff like that. And ever since first grade, you know, going back, I was the king in Chicken Little. So I came marching out. Yeah.
Well, that's a
but I was singing and I knew all the everyone's lines and everything. But we got in there and I actually taught myself to edit. My dad, he's more responsible for this than he realizes. He bought himself an editing computer because he wanted to like edit all our old home videos together and everything. So he had this big setup in the basement. And with that, he got Adobe Premiere. And I just asked if I could take it and install it on my computer. And one of the first things I did teaching myself to edit was I took a soundtrack to a movie I liked, made like opening credits in Microsoft Paint, and then edited it together to the music. And that's how I like taught myself the basics of editing. Obviously it's a little more advanced than that, but that's where I got started. So
right. And that was it. Yeah. So from there you're like, I love doing this. I just needed
to. I loved editing. I loved, you know, filmmaking through high school. I made short films. I was even in a film festival at the Little Theater. I always loved it.
Forward Film Festival?
No, it was the Young Audiences of Rochester Film Festival when I was in high school. Yeah, I was one of the top three selected and it screened and that was fun. And then, in college, I actually studied new media at RIT. So that was, from print, typography, web design, programming, everything. So I got a good basics of all that. And, then I did sell knives in college.
That is hilarious. Can you please just tell us how you got started on knives and not cars?
I know. Well, I had to do something that I could work around my college schedule. And obviously with car sales, I mean, I was a lot man when I was in college, but being a full-time salesman is tricky. It's hard to go to school and do that. Some people do it and power to them, but I needed something that was more flexible. So I saw Cutco was out there and I got involved in that.
Great training.
It was great. They really did teach you a lot of good stuff. At the time I was I had the highest number of sales with 100% closing ratio. If I got into your house, I wasn't leaving until you bought something.
Oh no.
So, well, being that you would come to my house with knives, I'd buy anything just to get
out. Right. Right. So no, it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot there and then got into the dealership. At the time we had an agency and again, they were great, but, I had a passion for it, and I had the time, and I had a very fast turnaround time for the ads. I mean, I basically sold it to my dad. Hey, I got the equipment. I know how to do this. And we were able to, you know, go from turning around ads and, you know, a few days to a week to, you know, from that morning, that afternoon, I was done. It was made. Yeah. So
that's amazing. And you've done a great job. And anyone who's listening in Rochester can, you know, has seen your work, and it's awesome.
So I remember when you came in, because I used to call on his father for years. Actually, your father back when I was in radio wouldn't buy me, I always tell him. About 2007, I remember you came in, you started to come into lunch with me and your father to talk about the marketing. And I was like, you know, oh, you're just another kid in a car dealer.
I'm just some dealer's son. Yeah, I know.
Chicken fingers and French fries. And but I got to tell you, Rich, you quickly changed the message and made it a different message on television and radio and billboard and everywhere, you know. So like, what is your strategy when you're writing a radio or TV ad? Because I think yours is very clean and easy to understand. Yep.
Well, that's exactly the point. So I remember, again, before we switched to me doing it, and I had to read a script written by someone else. And I remember I was standing behind the Pontiac store at the time, and we did this ad, and we were doing an ad, I think it was for Vibes. And I was saying some payment, and I knew there was going to be a ton of fine print and a lot of fast talking. And I felt very disingenuous even saying it. I was like, I don't like this. I don't like the feel of it. I'm a car dealer and this is confusing me. How the heck is anyone who doesn't know the stuff going to pick it up in 30 seconds? Right. And they're like, well, that's just the norm. That's the standard. And I didn't like it. So I remember when I first started doing ads, I said, no, if we're going to advertise the lease, I just want it with no money down. I think it's very manipulative to say, oh, it's the super low payment. Well, you can make, why not just make it $0 a month with 10 grand down? I mean, I just thought it was, yeah. And I almost made some ads where I joked about that. Like, you can make it anything you want. Like, I don't, yeah. Oh, I'm 199. Well, I'm 150. And it's like, oh, well, I just put more money down. So I thought my philosophy was make it simple, make it understandable in 30 seconds. I mean, anyone can understand. It's $249 with just your first payment at delivery. All tax and fees are included. That makes sense to me. I hope it makes sense to a lot of people. It took a little while because we did have some backlash. Oh, well, you're a lot more expensive than other people. You're a lot more. And actually, if you did the math, our payments, we were actually less, yeah. But it didn't look that way. So then I incorporated into the ad the, all right, we're this much. And if you want no money down, we can be this much. But I would look at what the other guys were doing. I'd say, or if you want to put money down, you can do this too. So then my whole philosophy was to truly be easy and upfront. I mean, there's no alternate reasons. There's no nothing. It was, I just want it simple. I want to be upfront. The sales guys loved it because when people came in with the ads, there was never delivering, oh, well, you need the $3,500 plus tax and fees. They're just like, yeah, that $249 lease you came in at. Yep, $249. We still have people. Really? It's that easy? Yep. So,
yeah. And they stand out, and you've been consistent, right? I mean, that's been going on. You haven't strayed. And I think that, you know, you've built a strong reputation for yourself because of your messaging.
Oh yeah. Well, thank you. I do think it's, you know, it's shown over the past few years as our sales continued to increase. I mean, prior to COVID, I mean, everyone had a bad year last year, but, you know, prior to that, we continued to build, and we are, as far as customer retention goes, we are very, very high. So, I mean, again, our whole philosophy has always been be upfront, be honest. I'm sure even when we have the endorsers on the radio, they're actual customers. We didn't want to do the thing where we just pay someone to talk about and read a script. We wanted actual customers that talked about their experiences. So, you know, the endorsers we have, you know, Steve Hausman, you know, mm-hmm. He just retired. We're still working with him. He's been a customer all that time.
Yeah. So. It was just his birthday too, I think, right?
Yeah, it was.
Happy birthday, Steve. If you're listening.
Happy birthday, Steve.
Happy birthday.
That's why he told me he listens to this podcast.
Okay, we know we have two listeners now. We're out. That's fun. And you talked about COVID, you know.
So, he just listens.
Yes. So you hit on COVID there. Did you change your strategy at all in marketing and messaging when COVID? I mean, is there any advice for business owners, you know, where we are in COVID today that you think we should be doing?
So as far as changing changing my strategy. Last year, COVID year, was our 50th birthday, the dealership's 50th birthday. And I made in January one of my favorite ads I've ever made. It was all upbeat. It was all like, you know, confetti going off. I'd talk about our whole history. It's so excited. And that was going to be the whole theme for the whole year. We were going to play off the 50 years. We were going to do all this stuff. I had this whole thing planned out. And then it literally, all of a sudden, it shifts gears to, we're sorry, we are temporarily closing right now. And if we are open, we're doing that. It's like the whole attitude had to change. I mean, like I literally go from the most upbeat ads I've ever done to me. So the Eyed Family of Dealerships is operating at limited availability. I mean, it's like,
but we're so, all in this together and be
we're strong. All in this together. Be strong at it, you know, all that. Yeah, we're all hanging in there. But, you know, so what did I shift? I shifted my tone. I shifted my excitement. I mean, the messaging changed. And honestly, for a little while, I wasn't even in the ads because I had the COVID beard and the didn't look like I'd been up and about much. So I just did text on the screen. But we got back. I just shot some new ads recently. What was funny is some of the ads. So when I shoot them, I shoot in front of green screen so I can reuse some of my old footage and just edit the ads together. So you had ads from me from a little over a year ago. And then I just shot new stuff. And some people actually called in and Rich is looking a little puffy. Is he okay? We had this one woman, no joke, call, and she's like, he looks, is he on drugs? Like, I shot this most recent ad at like 1 a.m. in my basement in front of a green screen, and I was using a new lens and a new light and a new camera, and apparently I didn't. And there's the COVID 30 I got going on. So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I am puffy. I'm not tan. I don't have my hair highlighted. I'm sorry. Like, yeah.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
Yeah, it makes me feel good to know that people are watching, like really watching hard.
They're invested in you personally and your health.
That's good. Yeah, apparently. No, I'm fine, everyone. Don't worry.
Good. All right. So, I mean, are there any mistakes that you've made along the way that you learned from in marketing?
Never.
Never? You're right?
No. Mistakes.
You said, geez, that was really
something that you did, like, and you're like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have went down that road.
Trying to think. I mean, I've definitely had ideas for ads that are a little edgier and like maybe my humor, but I get worried whether I can deliver the message in 30 seconds. And then honestly, with everything the way it is today, you know, you don't want to say anything wrong because don't want to offend anyone. I might as well run blank airspace at this point though. But I can't think of any marketing mistakes I've made. I don't know. I mean, even if you get into a program that you're not sure, you know, you're just trying to make the most of everything. I mean, especially with automotive advertising. I mean, if you guys are doing this, I'm sure you're doing multiple businesses. I always joke and say I'm envious of like being able to be an agency for like a restaurant or something, because if you do a killer ad for a restaurant, you could see reservations or something go up tomorrow. You could be like, hey, you know, people eat 3 times a day. They're at least eating every day. You know, I can make the world's greatest ad and it could really speak to someone, but if they just bought a car a month ago, they're not like going to come out and get another one. So it's hard to say what's effective. I know what's effective and what's not, but it's really hard to have that instant impact and know what was a mistake or what worked or what didn't immediately. When I did my Lost commercial, I had people coming in for years after that. Oh yeah, we saw your ad in Lost years ago. And we said, when we were ready to buy a car, we were going to come see you. Wow. That was like 3 years, you know, now it's a long time ago, but you know, just little stuff like that.
Yeah, me and I were talking. Go ahead.
So media is changing. Do you see any new ways to market and advertise that you're kind of interested in or you've tried that are newer? Are you on TikTok? Are you doing a lot of the OTT streaming? I think you've been doing that for a while, right?
We're doing a lot of OTT streaming. I haven't done TikToks. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We get on Instagram. I would feel weird getting on. I'm 37 at this point. It's
37.
Yeah, only the old 37. But Don't look at me like that.
Rich, know your audience here. We just asked you if you ever made a marketing mistake. The answer now is yes.
But what I'm saying is I feel like I'd be weird. I don't know. I don't use TikTok. I don't know that that's where I need to get to my automotive base. Again, with our reputation too, the kind of more, you know, the genuine everything. I think between Facebook and Instagram and just OTT and the pre-roll, I mean, everything. Rochester, I'm sure you guys know, is an interesting market because you've got the whole degree of, you've got the older demographic here and the younger demographic with the colleges. I mean, what stinks about Rochester for marketing is you got to literally be everywhere to get to everybody. Right. So that's where it's tough. I mean, you look at my waiting room, I'll have a 21-year-old that just got their first car and someone that's probably had 5 or 6 cars from us now. So I got to make sure, you know, from the Instagram ads to the wheel jep, you know, you got everything.
Yeah.
So.
That's right.
Well, those are really some good tips too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing is try and be engaging online. I mean, I'm still trying to think of a way to, you know, just try and catch people with that first 5 seconds. Yeah. Big thing I'm doing, again, this is probably automotive specific, but I'm working on making a lot more videos for people, you know, before the sale, for researching, not just using the manufacturer's website, but they'll be able to use ours with the social distancing. You know, I'm going to make some like tutorial videos for, you know, after you get your car from us after delivery, that you can go in and watch these videos of us showing you how to do the stuff. Cause you know, we don't really, you know, it used to be when you'd pick up your car, you had like an hour sitting in the car with the salesman. Some people are opting not to do that. So
I opted out before I could. I did, my ADD wouldn't let me. And then I'd call back and say, how does this work?
How do I do this? How do I? I hope you weren't the person that would say no and then give on the survey. They didn't show me anything.
How do you measure success with marketing? I mean, are there any tips you have for that, or do you set goals, or?
Well, I measure so that I'm not beating myself up, as I look at the whole market. You know, I look at what the other dealers are doing, what the other brands are doing. I mean, there's times where we're slow and we're like losing our minds, but then we look around and I mean, I'd almost rather see other dealers doing well, because then I would know that, hey, we could pump up the marketing or we could do something and go out there. But like last month, for example, it was just slow. And I mean, I don't think any amount of marketing would have changed that. It was just slow. So that's, I kind of look at, you know, what the market is and what's happening out there and make sure that we're getting what I view to be our fair share of the pie.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, so take out automotive, who do you think has really good marketing in a different category, and why? J-City good Super Bowl ads, anything that sticks out, say, wow, you know, that they just nailed it. Anything come to mind? I just put you on the total spot again.
Really good marketing. Man, what was that ad I saw? What was it? It was so good, I can't remember what it was. Who does good ads? I just think any ads that are genuine and get your interest. I mean, I liked VW's slogan in the in some of the earlier football games, you know, history, you know, make history for everybody, you know, with their new EV coming out. So
that's good. All right. But,
you did good, considering she just put you on the spot. I personally wouldn't have done that, Rich, but
Debbie likes to do that. I don't know. I look for the trailers. I'm huge into Marvel. So I, you know, I was watching that like Falcon and the Winter Soldier ad. I was like, ooh, you know. Yeah. But
this has been great.
I'll text you a picture of my office with all my Marvel statues.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. I would love to see that. So, first of all, thank you again for being here. You know, we love you. We could sit here and chat forever, and you are definitely one of the most entertaining podcasts, which we knew you would be because you're so interesting. But we're just going to wrap it up for some of our listeners, and some of the great tips that we took away is keep your message simple. Make it understandable, be upfront, be honest, be genuine, and market to everyone. Know who your audience is.
Yes. Yes. Well, yeah, market to your audience, where my audience is everyone. If you're a certain type of place, you might, yeah, just know your audience and what you're looking for.
Know your audience.
Well, we can definitely see your passion and your success.
If anyone wants to learn more about Rich, you can reach out to Debbie and I, and we will get you in touch with him. And that's it. Rich, thanks so much. I want to see the Marvel.
Absolutely. I'll send it right after this. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bye.